is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County.
The topic of this radio show is private well management, and the presenter is Al Dahlstrand, who is a UCCE Master Gardener of Tuolumne County and is also a retired mining engineer. Enjoy.
We're going to talk about private well management. First slide, Debbie. This is a page that I cut out of the Modesto Bee, and it shows a typical cross-section of a sedimentary aquifer. Sedimentary being sands, pebbles, silts, clay particles. And this is typical of what we see in the Central Valley. And this was an article about groundwater and talking specifically about how excess pumping in some areas can pull down wells and ruin wells in other areas. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about wells and the effects that high pumping has on some of these areas in the valley, in these sedimentary aquifers. And then we'll switch and we'll talk about foothill wells, because we're in a completely different geology up here. Most of our wells pull out of fracture systems. And those fracture systems can be fairly large in some cases, or they can be very small and very limited in other cases. But let's talk about the sedimentary areas first. This is this drawing depicts a couple of wells, one deep well and one shallow well in here. And it shows like pebbly and coarse sand areas in here. And it shows clay areas in here, maybe finer sand in this area. So water penetrates all these sediments. All these sediments came out of the Sierra over the last number of thousands of years through big storm events and washed out into the valley. Huge storm events like the one I talked about in 1861-62. That probably added a little sediment to the valley. So what we have here is water comes down, surface water comes down either by rain or runoff through river systems, and it starts penetrating down through these systems. It comes through, it'll go very fast through the coarser material, slow down through the sandy areas, go very fast through here. Clay areas, it'll usually go around because it takes so long to penetrate. But what we have here is the depiction of a very deep well. Maybe this is the current water table right here after a number of drought years. And we're looking at these two wells and we think, oh my God, you know, the water table has been dropping due to pumping in this area. This poor rancher's well right here is dry. And he's got to either get back in and deepen that well again or drill a whole new well. And who knows, this well is very deep and it's well below the water table, probably pulling out really good water. If that water, that well may have been there for a long time, and he's always operated just fine, no matter how hard he pumps. In some cases, he might have just put in a new orchard, and that might be a new well. And he's just tapped in deep so he can make sure he gets well below the water table, that he's got water to last him a long time. But if this guy is pumping, if the water table happens to be up in here someplace, and this guy is pumping really hard, pretty soon he can dry up this person's well, because it's so shallow. This kind of stuff happens all the time, and that's what I was saying earlier, that those people down in the southern part of the San Joaquin Valley are pumping groundwater so horrendously fast that they're starting to dry up wells around. And it's really, what it's doing is it's driving public opinion and it's driving the regulatory agencies to finally come to the conclusion that we've got to find a solution to this. Yeah. And we've got to, something that we hated to regulate for so long, we have to start regulating it now. So that's what a lot of these water districts are working on right now, are regulations that all the neighbors will have to live with for them all to survive. So those are the kind of problems they run into in a sedimentary aquifer. Deep wells versus shallow wells, and it will continue. There are some areas in the valley. Gary Fowler, his sister lives up in the Lodi area, and she's got about 100 acres of grapes up there, I think. And she happens to live in an area where the sediments are very coarse, and she's probably not far from some of the river systems. So her property gets recharged very fast through the coarser material. But what they're seeing, she's one of the lucky ones in that area. But what you see when you go south in the valley, see south of Merced down towards El Nido and over towards and west, going over towards I-5, north of Los Banos, there's an area over there that has had deep wells for a long time, and they've been pumping like crazy for 30, 40, 50 years. And what they've done is they pumped the groundwater down so much that the sediments dry out, and then the sediments start compacting, okay? So all of a sudden, all these spaces between all the pores of the gravels and the sands are empty of water, so the sands start coming around the gravel and they start filling in the spaces. So when you start getting the ground compacting and the surface is subsiding, what happens is you lose the former capacity of those sands to hold water, of that gravel and sands to hold water. And I've read articles in the Modesto Bee that have said around the El Nido area and to the west of there, they've had surface settlement, surface subsidence, as much as 15 and 20 feet in some areas, where the whole region has subsided like that. And you really don't notice that driving down the highway. So what's happened there when that subsidence happens, because the water has just been pumped way down, and it all compacts together, you lose a lot of that capacity forever. And if part of the solution to improving groundwater situations in areas like that means coming in wet years and maybe pumping water back down some of these deep wells to see if you can start raising that water table again. You might raise the water table again, but the capacity of these sediments in here to hold that water has been diminished by maybe 30% because it's all squished together and the pore spaces aren't there anymore. So that's part of the problem with why groundwater has to be regulated in this state, so we don't keep seeing this kind of phenomenon happening. Very, very serious stuff. Some people think that, some of the regulators even think that just by flood irrigation of a lot of these orchards will bring the water table right back up. Well, yeah, it might bring the water table back up, but if you've had any subsidence, you're not putting as much water back in as was there in the first place before you started pumping. So that's the tough nut to crack in the valley and these areas and sediments. I know down, I'm trying to think of the name of the town when you're just north of San Luis Obispo. It's Atascadero, and there's another town.
Paso Robles,
yeah. In the valley just east of Paso Robles, over the last 20 or 30 years, been a lot of wineries, a lot of grapes growing in that valley. And I know they've been complaining, and I've seen articles in the papers too about a lot of old ranchers down in that area that have totally lost wells or had to drill new ones because these wineries come in and they plant thousands of acres of grapes and then pump like a bugger to water their grapes, and then some of these old ranchers, the older ones, are losing their wells.
So they have no recourse?
Not legally, apparently, because the guy can say, well, I'm just pumping water off my own property, but see, that's part of the legal system that we're just going into now. That groundwater law is going to get really high priority in a lot of areas of the West, and including California, because just because there's land boundaries on the surface doesn't mean there is a boundary to where the water flows. If you're in sediments like this, the water can flow sideways as much as it's flowing vertical. So if this guy is pumping like crazy, he's maybe pulling this water table down like this. So there's a cone of depression where there's no water because he's pumping so heavily. And the deeper he goes, that cone of depression goes farther and farther out. So it starts pulling this guy's water away from his well. And legally, that's new territory for California of what can you do to make this guy stop pumping so much, because he's taking a lot of the water that's underneath your property, but it's going sideways over to his well or at a slope. So that's going to get really complicated. If any of your kids are wondering what to study in college, tell them to go into water law. There will be a lot of work in that in the future.
You know, I agree with what you're saying, but I think it's worth noting that in Southern California, there's a number of large groundwater basins that have been adjudicated, and there's actually water masters and water rights have been assigned to different users, and you can't just put in a well and start pumping.
Yeah.
So it's not across most of the state.
They're lucky to have those in, yeah. But I'll bet you it's in more in recent years, probably the last 20 or 30 years, most likely. But yeah, it's good to have that.
Sure.
And it's absolutely necessary to protect everybody. But it's gonna be more serious in the Central Valley.
So I've noticed that I live in Copper, and along Highway 4 going down into the valley, the almond orchards are just they're creeping up the hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where we are on the other side of Vista Point, how do aquifers, how are they related? I mean, should we worry where we're at, because is what they're doing down there, is it going to be affecting, let's say, 5 miles up the road?
You're probably okay being up in the foothills, because most of your water situation is coming off of either very shallow sedimentary aquifers, sands and gravels, but mostly out of fracture systems. So if you live in Copperopolis, you're on a fracture system running from Salt Springs Reservoir right down towards the other reservoir to the south, Tulloch. And there are a lot of major faults and fractures in that valley.
Oh, so it's going
probably north and south. Yeah,
it's
probably going. The flow of groundwater in your area is most likely along fault systems going north to south in that area, because you live in a valley.
Right.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Next slide. Okay, here's a cartoon a cross section in a foothill situation that I put together. And this is an undulating ground surface in the foothills, maybe a steep canyon, like maybe the Tuolumne River Canyon or Stanislaus River Canyon. And what I put in here are a bunch of faults and fracture systems that are basically in these valleys. And what we often find out is a lot of these topographic valleys, especially the steep ones and the really dramatic ones, they're there because that ground eroded fairly easily over the last several million years. And the reason it eroded fairly easily is because it's been whacked up by faults. There's been a lot of fault movement, a lot of ground movement, maybe sideways, maybe vertically, a lot of major faults and fracture systems associated with that ground that's eroded fairly easily into these steeper canyons. And some of these other gullies that are maybe not so dramatic, they're also affected by geologic fractures and faults below the surface that you can't see. But when you drill a well, chances are, and I've seen this in my neighborhood too with developers that have come in and built a few houses over the last 15 years, they'll come in and they'll drill a well from the top of a hill where a house sits, and that well's got to be 600 or 800 feet before it hits a very small fracture system way down deep that might give 2 gallons a minute of water. And he's got to pump the water up and put it in a tank next to the house and then pressurize it into the house for consumption. Where if he had gone to the bottom of the gully and drilled a well in there, he might have hit a fault or a bunch of fracture systems within the first couple hundred feet, and he might open up some really good water flows. That's typical of what you see in the foothills. This is a look at the Deep River Canyon. A lot of these deeper fractures down here are probably major fault systems, and associated with those fault systems there are lots of little fractures around it because that ground's been moving over millions of years. And in these smaller depressions, you get smaller fracture systems. I didn't even worry about putting any up here, but just this would kind of part of the cartoon will indicate that there are some more minor faults in fracture systems in these depressions too. And those are the only things that'll carry the water, because all the surrounding rocks are pretty much hard rock. They're not sediments. You can't pump the water through granite or through a fresh slate. So this is typically what we see in the foothills. So for example, if you take these two wells that are down at the base of the foothills, you know, they might still have some gullies and fracture systems, fault systems going down through here, and more fractures in these areas. And you have one deep well, and you have one shallower well. And maybe the pre-drought water level was up here, and now it's down here. Maybe both of these guys were pumping like crazy, and this guy's well dried up just because he was pumping it too hard. And he might have had to go back in and deepen his well or drill a whole new one. But this guy down here still has a lot of faults and fracture systems below him that contain water that he can pull out. And sometimes there might be faults and fracture systems going sideways underground that we can't see too, going from area to area. All depends on all the ground movement over the last number of millions of years, because this foothill area has been whacked up for hundreds of thousands of years with all of the ocean sediments that are typically pushed up in the foothills, pushing under the granitic block in the High Sierra. And this has been going on for millions of years. But this is all we have up in the foothills, so we're very limited in quantity. When we pull all the water out of these fracture systems, maybe the fractures are real tight out here and don't contain much water out to the side. So when we pull all the water out here, that's all we have in this particular well. I was talking to a lady that is in the Master Gardeners over in Tuolumne County, and she lives quite a ways up the hill. And she was talking about her well is not responding real well, because after they get rid of a couple hours of water on their lawn, they've got to wait a couple of hours before you can turn the faucet on and get any water in the kitchen. And I thought, watch what your well is telling you. Your well is telling you, maybe get rid of the lawn or turn the sprinklers off completely. The lawn will come back next winter.
Are these fractures also, are they the same thing as an artesian?
Not necessarily. Sometimes an artesian well, if there's a whole bunch of fracture systems, say in an area like this, and you have a lot of water flow in from say a surface above it, you may have water flow through some shallow fractures that bubbles up out of the ground down here. That's an artesian well, where it'll come out of the water, out of the ground.
Yeah, we have an artesian well.
Cool. That means somewhere up gradient from you, there's water going back into the ground from rainfall,
okay,
or water flowing through fractures higher in elevation than you're at,
okay,
and they're connecting to the fractures right near where your artesian well comes out. And that's a smile about that. That's a good sign. You just hope somebody doesn't put a well in it up here and start draining out the area where a lot of that water is recharging those fracture systems. And those things happen, but
yeah,
that's good. Yes?
Would you mind going back and defining what you meant by whacked up?
Whacked up means structurally really beat up and moved and crushed and ground together. When we have ground movement and earthquakes, mm-hmm, you've got these big blocks, huge blocks of the earth that are grinding along each other, and they're grinding along a fault plane. And as they grind along, a lot of the rock to the side gets ripped apart and fractured. And out from that fault that's maybe moving either vertically or horizontally, and it may move tens of feet in some of these major fault systems like the San Andreas and the Hayward Fault and some of these other major ones. You'll get, just by grinding together, you'll get a lot of other fractures going out from it. And that's what I mean by whacking up, because you're taking a lot of that rock and you're just pulverizing it. And you're putting a lot of fractures out in this area. But what happens when it gets faulted and fractured like that, those structures have potential water holding capacity for the future too. So yeah, whacked up is a scientific term that I sometimes use.
That's quite descriptive.
But it's highly disturbed. I have a habit of using scientific terms like that. Sorry about that.
No,
thank
you for describing it.
So, as you can see from the description here, our situation in the foothills is very different from the valley. And like this lady that was concerned about not having water at her faucet after watering her lawn, next slide, tells us a few things. First of all, we need to know as much about our well as possible. I was lucky enough when we bought our property that our well was the first well put in our kind of rural subdivision. And so we had a well log with it and all the pumpage reports and everything else. And we also knew who drilled the well. We had a copy of the well log with our deed. We knew the total depth, we knew the depths of the pump, we knew the age of the pump, and what I've done in the last 10 years or 8 or 10 years, actually before that, I used to pull a well sounder home from work, and we had some deep ones down there because we used to monitor area wells. So I went online and this is called a well sounder, and I went online and I Googled well sounders, and a whole bunch of articles come up. Some are Canadian, and there was a Canadian article in there that tells you how to build one of these to measure your well. And I knew the depth to our pump, so I knew I've got to have at least 150 feet of cable on it. And what the well sounder does is inside this little box, there are 2 9-volt batteries and a little buzzer that I picked up at Radio Shack. And get this screw out here. Okay, so when I hook these 2 9-volt batteries up in series, and they're basically putting energy into one of the wires in this cable. And inside this pipe, I've got a piece of plastic tubing, and that wire goes down. And at the end, the wires are bare. And one wire ends here, and the other wire ends probably a half an inch below it. So when I lower this down, and the batteries are hooked together, this goes down the hole, and when it hits the water level, the water conducts the electricity from the batteries, so it goes down one wire and comes back the other wire to the buzzer. And so it buzzes. So, and then on the cable, every 5 feet, I've gone through here with a marker, and I mark the footage above the wires. So when I lower this down and it buzzes, I can look at the collar of the well where the cable goes into the collar. I can look on there and decide to the closest marker, and even measure that with a tape if I have to, of how far down the sounder is, how far down the well. And I know the depth of my pump. So I say, okay, my pump's at 138 feet. I hit water at 60. Great, I've got plenty of water above me, and it hasn't changed in the last 2 months. And I usually measure this about every 6 or 8 weeks in the summertime, because I want to have a feel for my normal watering with drip systems, and especially with the lawn I have left around my fruit trees. I still water that with sprinklers as well as drips. So I want to know, how healthy is my well? Is it still getting enough recharge into the fractures from the past 3 dry winters we had? But now we've had 2 fairly wet winters. And as long as I've got a lot of distance between my pump elevation and the water level in the middle of the dry summer, I know I'm okay with it. and I don't have to take drastic measures like shut the lawns off, let them dry out. Because we had to do that back in the late 80s and early 90s. We just we carted water out of the shower to the fruit trees, and our dishwater out of the sink to the fruit trees, and we just shut the sprinkler systems down. And next winter the lawns will come back. We just hope the fruit trees survive. And that was our ultimate goal, was make the fruit trees survive first, and then a few major shrubs, and the rest of it can dry up.
Is there any issue if you got soft water with
putting
it on
plants? No. In fact, before we tied into public water system for use in the house, and we were taking everything out of wells, we have so much calcium in the water that we'd have to, about once a month, we'd have to take the little screens out of all the faucets and dip them in muriatic acid. And then finally we cut wires and put a water softener in. So at least we had some good water in the house. But anyway, this is called a well sounder. So Google well sounder and it'll bring it up, and it'll show you little drawings and a little list of parts and everything else you need for it. And I think I spent about $45 on parts, maybe. The reel was a spare reel from my old wire feed welder, and use everything you got around the house to make it out of. So they work well. Next slide, Dave.
If you were to go and try to buy one, how much do they cost?
And if you got a deep well, if your pump's down 600 feet, you're going to have a big reel, wide reel, and a lot of wire on there, and it's going to weigh a little bit too, and you're going to get tired of cranking that if your well water happens to be low, but it'll still do the job. But you buy a well sounder for going shallow like this, probably $300 I would say. But if you have to go deep and you want 600 or 800 feet of wire on there, it's probably going to be $500-$600. So they're not cheap. But they're a good tool. And if you've got something like that to periodically monitor your water, it takes some of the stress out of wondering, how's my well doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But if you see signs that, let's go to the next slide. Indicators of potential well problems. Drastic drop in water level with time. If you see, if you're measuring your well, or you could even have a well driller come in and measure your well too. Especially if it's a deeper one. He might charge you $50 to do it, but it might give you some peace of mind. And if you see some drastic drops in water level, that can tell you that I'm using a fair amount of water out of this well, but at this time of year, I'm not getting much water trickling back from outside sources into that fracture system. So maybe the higher up fractures of the Sierra that normally supply my well in my area is running low on water because the snow melt's all gone and there hasn't been much rain there. Can tell you a lot of things, but it's a cause for concern. Severe loss of pressure and flow rate following prolonged use, just like the lady with watering her lawn and then she doesn't get much out of the faucet. That's a telltale sign. Sometimes my next door neighbor was pumping his well before we got on public water. He was pumping it so hard one summer that he started getting some fine sediment clouding his water. I told him, shut off your sprinkler system because your water's getting so low it's starting to pull fines through the slots in the well screen. So if the static water level remains well above the pump, but the pumping rate and pressure drop off, you could have sand plugging the well screen in a slotted casing. And in a case like that, where your level is still fairly high, but your rate drops off, this kind of thing may be happening. Or you could have a failure of certain cells of your pump also. Best thing to do is call a well service contractor and have them come in and look at it. So there's all kinds of little things to look for. So that's kind of a brain dump on wells, kind of short and sweet. They're a great tool, but sometimes you have to watch it.